We are coming to the conclusion of the Mana Shiksha seminar. We will try our level best to cover at least the first verse in its entirety. Raghunath Das Goswami encourages us to develop never before experienced love to the divine couple. He tells us from where this love can be downloaded, so to say, from where it can be had or obtained. And in the first verse, he implores his mind to leave karma and take shelter instead of Shri Gurudev and Brajadham, so that he can develop prema. Here is the verse again for you. Please give up all pride and quickly develop sublime and incessant rati for Sri Gurudev, Sri Brajadham, the residents of Braj, the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas. Up till this we have somewhat, I wouldn't say covered somewhat, but somewhat touched these subjects. Now we will go today to the three subjects which are left over. He says we should also develop our love for our Diksha mantras, the holy names of the Supreme Lord, and the shelter of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who are the eternally youthful divine couple of Braj. First of all, I would... Can someone maybe softly say to our very enthusiastically speaking Brajbasis to be a little bit more peaceful in their expressions. Yes, Toda Shanti Baisas, yes. Let us start with one's own mantra. Who of you, may I have a quick show of hands, has been initiated in the Gopal Gayatri and the other Gayatris? Acha, this is about half of you. The Brahmana, the Brahma Purana gives the following definition of a mantra: Om Karadi Samayuktam Namaskaranta Kirtitam Svanama Sarvasatvanam Mantra Ityabhidhiyate. A mantra, this means a Diksha mantra, like those who get the second initiation get, huh? A mantra starts with an invocation like Om. It's a beach mantra, huh? And ends with a sign of obeisances like Namaha or Swaha. It is decorated with beads or seed mantras like Kling, Aim, etc. And in addition, it contains the names of the Lord. This is a definition of the mantras. It's a highly, in which a person is initiated. It is a compact packet, so to say, where you will find different elements. Names of Krishna you find in this. You find these beach mantras or seed mantras, which are like keys, which turn in your consciousness doors to other perceptions. And finally, an obeisances or an offering of yourself, like Namaha or Swaha, as a mood of surrender, must be in these mantras so that they are powerful and really powerful. So, a powerful mantra is described in the Gopal Tapani Upadishad, which is a text which begins with three questions aiming towards the Gopal mantra. Who is the Supreme Deva? Any idea? The Supreme God. The answer is Krishna is the Supreme God. Whom does death fear? A cold in Braj. No, that doesn't sound right. Whom does death fear? The answer, death fears Govinda. The third question. By knowing whom can everything else be fully known? Do you want to know this? If you know one person, everything else is fully known. The answer is, by knowing Gopi Jana Vallabha, everything else becomes known. Fourth question. So this three questions aim at the lords of the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. Krishna as a supreme god. Govinda, the Abhideya deity, as a person whom death even fears. That means if you do this practice of calling out Govinda's name or chanting Govinda's name in your mantras, you will not be reborn. And then finally the Prayojana deity, Gopijana Vallabha or Gopinath. When you know him, you know everything. By whom can everything else be fully known? Gopijana Vallabha. Those who are initiated at this moment, here maybe in their subconsciousness, the Gopal Gayatri, and they hear the last syllable echoing through their consciousness, Svaha. I give everything to Krishna, to Govinda, and to Gopijana Vallabha. This mantra has so much power that the fourth question relates to the potency of the mantra. By whom is this world brought into being? And it is expressed, the answer is, by pronouncing the word Svaha, the world becomes manifest. Wow! My dear devotees, if this is too much at a time when you think about lunch normally, 12:30 or so, let me give it in one sutra-like sentence. This mantra, which you have received, is a very powerful important package, having the name of the Supreme Lord, having an antidote against having a name of the Lord whom death even fears, and having a Lord who will give you everything you need to know, and then finally the powerful syllable Svaha. If you want to know more esoteric knowledge on this mantra which you chant, please buy in big quantities the Gayatri book. Hare Krishna. Little humor must be there. My dear devotees, too often we become negligent and think, I am free from practicing the different times and other rules regarding my mantra. The mantra is above all this, and I am also above all this. Why do we chant the Gayatri Mantra at three times during the day? These three times are called sandhyas, which are presided over by three powerful deities, Savitri, Gayatri, and Saraswati. And these deities come and touch the earth where the practitioners sit at the time of the sandhyas, 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, around this time, or if you want to be more precise, it's when the dawn time is, the noon time is, and dusk time is. At that time, these powerful deities come and invigorate and enliven the chanting of your mantras, through which you turn in earnestness and a worshipful mood towards Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopijana Vallabha. This is a very important that you keep the times, because if you chant at the wrong time, you won't have the wind in your sails, that is the power of these powerful deities. Now, because through the Gayatri mantras, through the mantra, Krishna is worshipped, there is an interesting little detail. If you do service during these times, real devotional service, and you therefore cannot interrupt the chanting, it is said 60,000 sages come and jump into it for you. They will chant the mantra for you. Because the deities are very powerful. Saraswati, Gayatri, and Savitri in the beginning, Savitri, Gayatri, and Saraswati in this succession. They will tell the rishis, my devotee, the devotee of Krishna is doing Krishna seva. We have to respect that. Therefore, you chant for him. And just to make sure that the chanting is really going well, they tell 60,000 saints to do it, Because devotional service is just so dear to these deities. But if you can arrange your day, which is better, in a way that you will have a peaceful time during the sandhyas, you must not become negligent. Think in your mind, my mantra attracts Krishna. It is the cause for obtaining prema. Therefore, I should follow the chanting regularly. You know, Krishna is used to you sitting down at these opportune times, these appropriate times. And he is hearing the chanting, and he loves you hearing the chanting, and he wants to be worshipped by you. You know, and here at Giriraj's lotus feet, Krishna showed how eager he is to receive the worship of the devotees, because when he saw that his devotees, the Brajbasis, were worshipping Indra, he didn't like it. And he said, take all the offerings and give them to me. I want to be worshipped by you. By me and my form as Giriraj. So please don't become negligent. Don't become outsidely facing, bahimukha. Remain inwardly facing and chant these mantras with full understanding. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, someone who becomes negligent in chanting the Gayatri mantras, at that time when he's negligent, the essential deities of the Gayatri mantra are leaving the mantra, and he won't touch the deities any longer. He won't touch Krishna. Krishna leaves. And you have only the empty alphabet shell of the mantra left to you. Please, don't become negligent. And one way to not become negligent is to understand the sublime position of the mantras, and therefore, this book was written, the Gayatri Mukha. This is written especially for a Hare Krishna audience. So, please, it took 5 years of research, and I'm saying that this is that is good to read, not because it's my book, because that I couldn't do. It's just a research book where we talk from so many sources, from so many Vaishnavas, from so many interviews, and so many scholars had their mind in this book, and it's really not a Sachinandan Swami book. I wouldn't recommend you to read a Sachinandan Swami book. It's really a... And I think I made this very clear in the beginning. Good. So develop love for the chanting of your Gayatri mantra. And the first way, or the way how love starts, is by giving attention. You know, I have developed a very affectionate relationship with Radha Raman, and it happened. Radha Raman sang his bhajans many years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I heard, and they were so soft and so different from at that time my very passionate kirtans, passionate in the sense fast and loud, and I thought, wow, this is a different sound vibration. But it's good. It's much better than your kirtans, because you can actually switch off the restless mind and absorb it in the sound vibration. So I became attentive to Radha Raman, but then I thought, he is from Australia, and that's at the opposite side of the world from Europe. So I won't have much contact with him. So I was only watching him from the corners of the eyes, but not making any contact. But then I do remember we went on a wonderful parikrama, I believe, to the villages of the Sakis, and there we made more contact, and then when I gave attention, affection was growing. My dear devotees, love starts with giving attention. So if you want to develop love for your Gayatri mantras, you must, which can give you prema, ultimately, which can give you Radha Krishna, then you must please be attentive to the timings where you have an appointment with the mantras. That is morning, dawn time, noon time, and dusk time. Don't miss your appointment. Be attentive to your appointment. And then chant it not as a mental soup, but each or a mental kitchari, but each syllable clearly pronounced either by Upangsu Japa, Gayatri Japa, or Manasik Gayatri Japa. What this is known to those who have received the initiation. So these are a little secret subjects. We will not really go into it. The next point which Raghunath Das Goswami mentions is you should develop a love for the holy name. And of course, this is a subject matter which all devotees like very much. And I would like to... talk about this. He says, Shri Namni. Develop love for the holy name. Now, I would like to give you a three-step program how you can very quickly make phenomenal, increase your attachment to the holy name in a phenomenal way. This is something where I request you to pay your attention, because we will soon do an exercise on this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, hear from me now, how the holy name can yield or give prema. How to chant it so that it can give you prema. Would you like to know this? He says, Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You have heard this verse so often in our lectures that your mind may maybe switch on boredom. But before it does, listen for a second. Prema, or love, lives in the house of dainya, or deep felt humility. So if you want to chant with love, you need to come to the into this house, the house of prema. And the road into this house, or the way into this house, is that you must be humble. Now, my dear devotees, there is a difference between external humility and real humility. You can really deceive yourself and others with external humility. Like, you only need to do some physical posture like this. You need to lower your voice a little bit and say, Prabhu, Prabhu, Kripa Koro, Kripa Koro, give me mercy, and so on. You can do this, but you can feel, wow, I really learned the trick, you know. To become really humble, you need to practice two things. Tolerance, you need to practice tolerance in two ways. Tolerance first means don't protest or don't just vibe for your own rights or that you look well and so on. Mahaprabhu said, when a tree is cut, it doesn't protest. So when life cuts you in some way, then don't immediately protest and make arrangements for your defense, you know. Become tolerant. That's the first way you have to practice tolerance. The second way is continue to give service. And I want to now give you a great compliment. I must say, the teachers of the retreat were shaking in fear when it was raining the first day. There was no sign of the rain stopping. It had rained before very, very much. It had rained so much that even the monkeys of Vrindavan developed a cough. I don't know if you heard them coughing. It was really, you know, rain. But already devotees came to Prashanta and Subal. All my shirts are wet, and I there's no hope of them drying. What shall I do? I will develop skin infections, and so on. And I heard in the bathroom ragas, you know, and there was some misery there. But you were tolerant. You did not protest, and even more, you continued with the practice. You came to the programs, and you were such a nice, wonderful audience without, you know, jumping on the head of the organizers and performing a tandava nritya on their heads, you know, where you would express deep felt frustrations. No, and this is necessary. Don't protest always and try to make it your way. Accept that this is life. Yes, there is rain. So what? Rain belongs to the world. Rain belongs to Braj. Rain begins to life. This is one thing. And then continue with your practice. This is how you will develop humility. Practice tolerance. You can easily deceive yourself and others with an outward show of humility. And then when someone steps on your toe, you go like, ah, Prabhu. So, but if you learn to not protest, you learn to continue to give service, then you get it. Right, and then you feel that feeling in the heart, love is coming. This verse is so important for someone who wants to develop love for the holy name that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as most of you well know, raises his hands in the sky and he says, my dear devotees, string this verse on the necklace of the holy name and wear it constantly around your neck. What this means, this poetical expression means, while you chant, you must remain mindful to stay in this place of being humble and tolerant in two ways. Not pretending, but not protesting, but continuing. I think this is especially important when you go through the dry desert of no taste and chanting. Huh? Don't protest. Oh, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. And continue to give your service of chanting. This is very important, my dear devotees. Because proper implementation of this verse is your best protection against that which futiles, defeats, annihilates the results of the chanting. See, there's in Mahaprabhu's teaching, there is one thing which the chanter must absolutely avoid. This is what he must do. Trinadapi sunichena taro ivai sahishnuna. Or in terms of chanting, he must remember his fallen condition in the material world, and he must become tolerant and turn to Krishna. But what he should not do, what you absolutely have to avoid, is the offenses against the holy name. That any one of these offenses takes care that you cannot feel ruchi when you chant the holy name. There was once a great saint. His name was Andamuni, who had a son called Sindhu. Andamuni and his wife were blind. They lived in the forest, and they were totally dependent on Sindhu, who used to bring them water, cook their meals, and take care of their necessities, because Andamuni and his wife were aged. One day, Sindhu went to fetch water. It was in the evening time. He went with a pitcher down to the river. Sindhu went down to the river to never return. In the bushes of the river sat the great king Dasharath. And as the pitcher of Sindhu entered the water, it made a sound like a male deer makes when some sound. And Dasharath, who had been hunting after this one deer the whole day, thought, "Now I have him." And he aimed. It was dusk had gone, it was dark, he could see. He aimed the arrow towards the sound, shot the arrow, and when it hit, boom, he was terrified. He didn't hear the sound of a deadly wounded deer. He heard the sound of a sadhu. "Oh no! What have you done?" He raced to the place where the sadhu was dying in the blood of his heart. "What have you done? What will my parents, Andamuni, the great saint and his wife, do when I'm gone? Promise, you heartless killer, promise that you will take care of them instead of me. Now pull the arrow out of the heart. I want to die fast." Dasharath did this last service, and he the saint died on the spot. Dasharath was helpless, but he had to inform Andamuni. So he went with the saint in his arms, the dead saint, the body of the saint in the arm, to this couple who sat like two kurari birds and who greeted him. "Oh, son, you're back. We waited. You were a little late." Dasharath said, "I am not your son. I am the murderer of your son." "What?" said Andamuni. "Show me. It can't be true." So Dasharath put the dead body of his son before him, and Andamuni touched his face and could understand, yes, that was Sindhu, his son. And then the first reaction, listen to this reaction of the saint. he said. I have to lament the death of my son now. Is it because I have committed the offense of considering the deity of Sri Hari to be a stone? Is this a result of offense? He asked, in other words, if his misery, which he experiences at the moment, could have been caused by an offense against the deity, where he thought, well, the Lord, the Hari is just a stone. It's interesting to hear this reaction or the spontaneous question of this great saint at the news of hearing or finding out that his only son and the mainstay of his life was killed. So ask yourself, my dear devotees, look into your heart and ask yourself the question. Do I have to lament about not being where I wish in Krishna consciousness, perhaps because of having committed aparad? Aparad are so powerful. You can do spiritual practices like Andamuni, who only did spiritual practices in his life. But aparad is so powerful that although you commit spiritual practices, the result is they don't work, and you feel it. You feel a miserable life, which doesn't give your step the spring and your eyes the sparkle which a person has who is enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. So, it is said, Nama Vigraha Swarup Tina Ekarup. These are all one form. The name, the form, and the personality of Krishna. Same thing. Tina, these three are Ekarup. One and the same form. One and the same item. One of the same thing. So if you commit offenses against the deity, or against the name, or against the personality of Krishna, you feel a miserable life. This is the result. Despite your spiritual practice. There is this verses where Mahaprabhu says, he who offends my devotees, despite of his chanting the holy name, I will not tolerate it, but he will be scourged. And he who does make offense against my devotees, although he may take bath in the river Ganga. He says it like this, the chanting of the name and the bath in the Ganga will turn against him and punish that sinner. This is how heavy aparad are. So, if you want to chant properly, you need to know these two things. Be humble by practicing tolerance in two ways, not making always material arrangement and protesting against the input of what the material nature offers to you, and continue to give your service. And the second thing is, avoid offenses, my dear devotees. Avoid aparadas. Aparads don't give satisfaction to Krishna. The word apa in Sanskrit means not, and rad means satisfaction. Not satisfaction. You cannot claim to do a spiritual process of bhakti, which is aimed of pleasing the Lord, and commit aparad. It just is antithetical. Mutually antithetical. It doesn't work. Now it says that the chanting of the holy name has one root offense, which is inattention. We heard how attention gives love. And I would now like to give you a very powerful formula. Oops, my leg has fallen asleep. So let us not protest and continue to give service. Huh? Tolerance. Oh. No problem. Please give me a pen. I would. Thank you very much. There, I will write down now a formula to you, and we will have to practice this. How you can avoid the root cause of offenses and really go into the chanting. Would you like to know this? Once Srila Prabhupada was asked how do I chant with attention? There was a devotee from Germany. His name was Uttama Shloka. There are two Uttama Shlokas. And Prabhupada gave a formula. And I heard this from Jayadvaita Maharaj. And he usually gets it right because he's an editor. And Prabhupada says, said, just try to hear yourself chant. Now listen, sincerely, hope it's proper English. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Have you heard koans? What is a koan? No, it is a Buddhist sentence which, while you meditate about it, brings you to a state of a calm, full mind, a peaceful mind. They say no mind to this. In my mind, this is the ultimate sutra of verse, because you have to do two things really while you do this. And psychologically speaking, the mind gets arrested when it has to do more than two things at a time. You have to start here with chanting sincerely, because if you want to hear yourself chanting sincerely, first there must be sincere chanting there, otherwise you what will you hear? Chant sincerely. And then you do, actually I will write it like this. Hearing yourself chanting sincerely. Now what does it mean to chant sincerely? Srila Prabhupada has written about this. Actually, this doesn't belong to the presentation. has written about this in the second, in the eighth chapter of the first canto. In this verse, Janmaishvaya Shruta Shribhir Edamana Madhapuman. It says in the purport, one time chanting can relieve you from more sin than you are able to do, but there's a quality to this chanting. And that chanting, the quality of the chanting is to chant with a feeling of helplessness, turning to Krishna. And then the mantra will do his power. So I want to do now a practice with you. Do you have your japa mala with you? If not, no problem. You can also chant without the mala.
But I first will bring you to an interesting psychological space. I will read to you one song, which is the sincerity song. Amara jiva sadapa. It is Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking the voice of a person who reflects his life and sees a void of devotional practice. It is a sincere regret. It is an honest admission of mistakes. Imagine Bhaktivinoda Thakur sitting in his old age, reflecting about a life throughout my whole life. I have been addicted to sin. No, I never performed any pious activities. If I look at my relationships, I have simply been a source of disturbance, suffering for others. I was enthusiastic, yes. But for my own pleasure, I would do anything. I would not be afraid of even committing sins. I am devoid of pity and full of selfishness. It gives me pain when I see others to be happy. It eats at my heart. And I'm a liar. I lie. If I'm honest, I take delight in others' miseries. If I look in my heart, there are endless selfish desires. It's so easy to make me angry. I'm devoted to arrogance. I'm intoxicated by conceit and deluded by the beautiful forms of this world. I ornament myself with pride and with envy. Oh, afflicted by laziness and sleep, adverse to pious activities, I delight to perform any harmful act to obtain name and fame. I'm very, very expert in duplicity, always lusty and degraded by mundane greed. All this has brought me to a state where saintly persons have rejected me. I have become a repeated offender. I never do good deeds, but I am inclined only to bad habits. Thus, I am oppressed by so many miseries. Now in old age, I am rendered helpless and reduced to a fallen and destitute condition. Bhaktivinoda presents his sad case at the feet of the Lord. You know, we are helpless. We are fallen. Yes, we've used a lot of Schminka. Schminka means, I don't know. Schminka, I think the word says it to you, what Schminka means. Not to schmink, schmink, makeup, yes, makeup. Psychological makeup to just look good before us and others. But we are fallen. We have failed in the relationship to Krishna. We have left him. And it's only us who are responsible. So with such a helpless mood, you know, I'm sitting in this world, I've fallen, and this is the result. One can chant sincerely, taking shelter. And I would like to now request you to take your Japamala, or if you don't have Japamala with you, no problem at all. You can chant even without. Then let us chant for some time. And again, you remember Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he took this, he said, I raise my hands in the sky. That's what you, when you want to have attention. Hello, hello, do you hear me? Hello? Then you go up with your hands. Remember this. String this verse around your neck, this verse about humility, Trinadapi. So we will do this now, and we will then try to hear the sound vibration of us chanting. We will do this in one voice. I will chant alone first. Actually, no, we don't do this in one voice. We do it in our voice. Let us start now. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Yes, everyone on his own, please. Krishna, 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 Hari, 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 Ram, Hari, Ram. And you have, continue. I will give you a few instructions to continue. Chant sincerely. This means chant in a way looking for help. Chant in a helpless way. And then listen to yourself doing this. Try to hear yourself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. One of you is too loud. Please chant like everyone, not that your sound is louder than everyone's. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama 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 Rama. First step is to chant sincerely. Bring your mind kindly to this practice again and again, although it will wander. And then hear your own self chanting. Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Yama Rama Rama Hari 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 Krishna Hari Krishna Yama Yama Rama Hari. Mentally bent towards your sound. If you are a little hard of hearing and you want to hear what another person says, you have to bend towards him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Radhava Lava Radhamada Sundara.
Hare Krishna. So, let us summarize. What are the three things we can do to develop love for chanting? Where do we start? Tolerance. And yes, to develop humility. Yes. Second thing, what do we try to avoid? Aparad. And what is the root cause of aparad? Inattention, yes. How can we chant more attentively? Yes, I think it's clear. Just try to... This is an answer which Prabhupada gave to this very same question. Huh? Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. If there's anything I can give you as a summary of a japa retreat which will come, there will be many more teachings, like we will learn, for instance, how to chant with genuine feelings. That is another chapter, you know, the right mood of eagerness and so on. And I will speak a little bit in the concluding part of this presentation. But please take this with you and practice it. You will not know what your japa was before and what it is after you have practiced this for a week. It will make a radical change in your life. It's very, very powerful. Devotees have written that that, you know, we had this japa retreat in Philadelphia, right? And then Yajna Purusha Prabhu remembered that Prabhupada said this is how to chant attentively, and then we had tried, but we didn't know, Giriraj Maharaj and myself, if maybe this was, you know, one of these Prabhupada said, and then when you go to the source, it's entirely different. He's phrased it entirely different. So we wrote with the computer to Jayadvaita Maharaj and asked him, you were quoted in our japa retreat as having said that Prabhupada gave this method to chant attentively. Is this true? And he wrote back and he said, yes. He only made one change. We had chanting, and Prabhupada said chant. It's like it is here on the piece of paper. Just try to hear yourself chant, not chanting. Chant sincerely. Huh? So, please, my dear devotees, I sincerely request you. It is a real request. It is not a false request, but it is a really heartfelt. Take this with you and practice with it. The devotees who were on the japa retreat wrote to us that we don't know what is our chanting now, and we feel so enthusiastic. We have started japa sanghas, and you know, it was phenomenal. There were breakthrough experiences which the devotees had made with a simple formula, but very simple formula, but extremely effective. Please do this. Please don't do it. Yes, do it. And sincere chanting, really, you need to come to a place where you can actually feel some humility, some helplessness. If you want to find this quotation, maybe Braj Bihari Prabhu, you can find everything. Are you with your computer there? It is. There is a quality to this chanting. This is would be. Have you found it already? Yes, yes. There's a quality to this chanting. We can give you the exact reference if Braj Bihari's computer is not giving up his life force, which is also possible. Let's pray for his computer. Yes. So,
you mean the first canto quote,
yes. It's a Janmaisvaya Shruta Shribiya. In that shloka it is. I know, in the purport of that shloka, I remember I don't remember many things, but this I remember. Mm. Good. Or what also helps you, you know, see, when you want to really develop love for the chanting, you have to develop a relationship to Krishna. And I highly recommend you to sing Krishna's many names, like we had some names here recently. It's here, yes. Please show it. We can just say... Dada Damodaro Puvam. Yes, not half asleep. Please bring the rest of your life to it. Radhika Madhavo Tata. Brishabhanu Kumaricha. Tata Gopendra Nandana. Govindasya Priyasaki. Gandava Bandavastata. Nikunja Nagaro Goshta. Kishora Jana Shekaro. Vrindavanadipo Krishna. Valabha Radhika Priyo. Take shelter, chanting these names with feeling, and wander throughout Vrindavan every day, mostly in your mind, huh? It's more safe. And think of Krishna, and then don't be humble. Hare Krishna. Be humble and don't be deceitful. Huh? Be real. And for this song, which we have sung, Amaraji, isn't it an atom bomb for one's false ego? This is the Amara Jivana. You can find it in your songbooks. It's everywhere. Amara Jivana. Or if you want, please, if you subscribe to that Amrita Vani newsletter, it's a free newsletter, and it comes out very, very irregular, yes, thank you. Then, if you follow that, if you get it on the newsletter, I have to make a news. On that newsletter, in 2 months, will be the whole Japa retreat. By the way, which our team, the Sharanagati team, teaches all over the world. It will be for free in a condensed form. Hare Krishna. So here is your statement about how to chant sincerely. Actually, Prabhupada writes, the Lord's holy name have such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name and great material satisfaction, everything is all right, no problem, cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. So therefore you have to decrease the fever of pride. You know, you have to decrease the fever. You have to become healthy. And such songs as this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation, help you. If you want to know where this quotation is from, please note down, it's from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text 26. I'm in chapter 9 is called Decreasing the Fever of Illusion. My God, what is this? Is a mystical computer.
That's on the book Queen Kunti.
I see. So it's 1826. Acha. You know everything, Rajvihari Prabhu. Thank you very much. Thank you. I greatly appreciate your computer skills.
Good, very good. You just want the quotation and bang, it's produced. It's amazing.
So, what is the time now, please? 1:34. I prefer to now see if you have some questions. Because we have heard, if we chant properly the holy name, that gives love of Krishna, and that's the idea of this verse. So I think we have something very concrete, a very concrete practice, which you can all pack in. Trinadapi, avoid offenses, and just try to hear, try to chant sincerely, because these three steps you can all do. It's something concrete. So who has a question? Please raise your hand. Manohar has a question. Adi Purusha Prabhu has a question. And okay, these two have a, and some other person. And our Madhaji. You speak Russian, Madhaji? English, yes. Prepare your question, write it down on a paper so that it really comes like a bullet. Huh? Yes, so who is who was our first? Manohar.
I wonder how can we achieve this feeling of helplessness, which is obviously so very important. Of all the items that you mentioned, I feel like I could go along, but this helplessness just doesn't really appeal to me.
By two ways, a sadhaka can feel helpless. Can come to this feeling. One is when he comes into a situation where he really can see it. That's the easiest. And most of us who have the same issue with feeling, we men especially, we want to construct a house in eternity with our abilities, huh? But very often this is futile at times of disease, or when you helplessly fall in love and you don't want to do it, when you have just committed a blunder in a relationship and so on. So at that time, you know, that feeling is there. I'm just giving examples. I usually become helpless when I really become physically ill. Like, I so much wanted to sing during this Godan retreat, but I was helpless. And yesterday, for the first time in my life, Bhurijan Prabhu, who has a senior citizen passport, sent me untimely to bed. It was the worst defeat I could ever. I was falling asleep in the most beautiful kirtan a few times, and then he said with a voice of compassion and disgust, "Go to bed, old man. Sleep. You are ill and helpless." You know, and I went. Oh, it pierced my German heart like a glowing lance put into the bottom. You know, it was really too much. But I had to admit my defeat, and I went to bed. And I will, when I see him also in this situation, I will say it to him also. Hare Krishna. But I was... second thing is little humor. Little humor must go. We are friends. We can humorously joke. The other thing is, I want to ask the principal question: how to develop any mood? You go to those who have the mood, like like I remember Gogovinda Maharaj, when he came to Germany, I don't know if I'm mixing what he said in the lecture or in the videographed lecture. I saw it's a video, but it was at one time he came from Africa, and someone in Africa had asked him, "You talk always we should cry for Krishna, but how do we do that?" And then he gave that. He said, "I gave this answer, that when a person comes into a group of other persons who mourn for someone. Mourn means to lament. Then that feeling also comes in the heart. Now in ISKCON we unavoidably sometimes have these meetings, memorial meetings for God, older devotees who have left their bodies. No? It comes more and more and more. It will come more and more and more. And have you noticed, you sit in this meeting and you say, this thought won't get to my heart. You sit there and someone starts to cry and you go, it's only a Mataji, I won't cry. You know, and then another starts, and then another starts, and then another starts, and my God, he starts. And then... drink some water, you know, divert your attention here. And you fill your water glass with your tears. You know, it happens. So association brings that mood. And association, such first-class association, is very often difficult to be had because we are doing service everywhere and we are surrounded with an ocean, an ever-filling ocean of young devotees, you know. And we look for that older devotees, the mature devotees, and we don't find them so easily. My tip to you, Manoha, is read these songs where the acharyas really lament, like Amar Jivana. That has a power. Oh, here. Bulia tomara samsara siya penam na vida beata. Oh, I could already start crying. Oh, Lord, forgetting you and coming to this material world, I have experienced a host of sins and sorrows. Sing these first-class songs. They're meant to invoke feelings in your life, you know. And my third tip is just be a little bit honest. Then you can see that you are helpless. Especially in you know, when you are in certain, when you are in situations where you just can't control your mind. This, many devotees have expressed this, that this helped them to become humble. They say, oh my Lord, I see my mind, which is meant to be my tool, mana shiksha, huh? Instruction to the mind, is not under my control, and that makes my life very difficult. So that type of helplessness. Manoha, if you are so strong as you have put a picture into the hall, then I challenge you. Tell your mind what you want him to think for the next 5 minutes, and you will be defeated. He will think what he wants to think, not what you want to think. You can just tell him, think of Giriraj, my mind. 5 minutes only, that's nothing. Then we eat prasadam afterwards. You will seek of so many other things. And if you can't control your mind, you know, how are you strong? The mind, if it drives you everywhere and anywhere. Adi Purusha, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Purusha.
Thank you very much for the wonderful lectures.
Oh, nothing, and nothing. Too little time. Hare Krishna.
It's just the first verse.
Yeah.
We hope to hear more and more. I have two questions, if possible. One is, what is the distinction between Sunichana and Amanina? One is humility and the other is pridelessness. So, humbler than a blade of grass and expecting no honor. What will be the difference between these two?
Adipurusha Prabhu, when I get such a question, I write it, Hare Krishna, Haripo, when I get such a question, I usually write it down and then I think about it, and usually, because I'm not very intelligent, I send the Sanskrit words to a Sanskrit scholar. Because you now want to really know the difference between between the Sanskrit
term. Or in the mood.
In our mood.
Why two separate?
Amanina as being pridelessness, and Sunichena as being...
Humility.
Humility has been defined as that even a qualified person feels himself to be wretched. And this humility has four causes. One is, you see, you have made a blunder. The second cause is, you feel that you have made apparats. And the third and the fourth cause I have forgotten. So it's a feeling of being wretched. It's a sanchari bhava in psychology, a temporary mood in the mind. But in spiritual life, we make this mood, I'm wretched. Wretched means really in need of help. It's like that feeling of wretchedness is really like I'm really low. Yeah, and it's not something mental. It's really a sincere feeling of dānya. And here love can come. Love lives in this house. Pridelessness. So I would say humility is something, when it's there, it should be always there. I said in psychology it's a sanchari bhava, but in spiritual life, in spiritual life, in mundane psychology, it's something temporary. You know, it's a mood. Oh no, you know, which changes. But in spiritual life, it is there because you have realized these four things. I'm an aparadi. I'm wretched. I'm very low. And yes, I have failed. I have failed totally. And this you stay on this place. And pridelessness, pride is coming and going, and like one of the enemies which takes priority in the mind. And then you, when it comes, you say no. Humility is something, you know, it's not actually no pride. Humility, no pride is when pride comes, you says no, it's something temporary. Humility or dānya is something which is always with you, like you always live in your house. You are always, you take this house with you, this humility, this dānya, and you feel wretched, you feel in need of help, you know, and it's always there with you. It's more difficult to attain. I hope I was clear and yes, not too
thank you very much.
Hazy minded. Yes, our Russian Mataji, you have yes, not long question, short question. Yes.
Hare Krishna. My question about Gayatri.
Gayatri.
What to do? It's already done in attending and chanting. And Goddess Gayatri is gone. What to do now?
She will come back. When you chant attentively. This is how I started my preface in the Gayatri book. I had made this experience. I was initiated in the Gayatri Mantra by Srila Prabhupada, but I must tell you very honestly that I did feel it was really tedious, and it was really without any rasa, without any feeling. And then I read in a commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he said Durga facilitates that these deities go and leave the Gayatri. And then I thought in my mind that I was chanting these syllables, but there was no reaction in my mind. There was no cleansing. There was no contact with Krishna. It was just going. And then I decided to become a better Gayatri chanter. What I did is, I first of all read all the books on the market on Gayatri book. Mahanidhi Maharaj had written a book which became a good reference book. There he has done many quotations he has found. And I studied everywhere, and then I asked devotees who are not afraid of the internet to go in the internet for me and find something in the internet. And then I decided to go over this text, and then I thought to myself, if I am giving initiations in the Hare Krishna mantra and in the Gayatri mantra, I must explain these two mantras to those who are whom I'm supposed to guide. So let me write books on these two subjects. And I wrote the Gayatri book as an offering to Krishna, a shameful offering that I have lost you, I have lost these mantras. You know, only on one level, that is called the Adhyatmika level, the deities are there. But ultimately, it's Krishna. On a higher level, you will all learn in the Gayatri book. On a higher level, it's a mantra where Krishna is present. On one other level, the devis are present. But we are connecting with Krishna more than we do with devis. I only wanted to make a thought-stimulating and new point to you so that you would listen to the lecture as a pedagogic tool. Hare Krishna. Krishna. And Krishna leaves out of the mantras when you are not there. So do a conscious effort. If you feel your Gayatri mantra is chanting is lifeless, you have to make a reform. The easiest for us is to start with the times, sit down on these times and make sure you chant the mantras. The second thing for your reform is you need to know what you are chanting. The meaning of the mantras. This is very much explained in this book. What does each mantra mean? Yes, and then very soon the life will come back. Don't worry. Krishna is very merciful, very forgiving. So I want to end here. It's 5 minutes before 2 o'clock. I have still so many nice subjects, but I feel in the interest of the retreat, it's important. There are two very important announcements. One is by Madhavananda, who couldn't do it in the morning. Madhavananda, please come here and speak through the microphone your announcement.
Just a couple of quick things. We have a free email magazine, Bindu. We mentioned a couple times in the morning. If anybody would like to subscribe to that, you can see Harshad, who's standing up in the back there, and just give him your email address. It comes twice a month every Ekadasi.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Also, if you'd like to get the back issues and you have a computer stick with you, if you give Harshad that computer stick, he can give you 240 issues, all the issues we've done so far. And a couple other quick things. Somebody was asking about the verse we mentioned that the Pandas and Puri, they chant this Radha mantra over the log to install Jagannath. That's in this magazine. And somebody else is asking about our other article about the opulence of Puri. That's in this issue. And those are all on the table there. And one last really quick thing. This morning I spoke too long, and I have to apologize for that. And then Mother Prashanta, she came and she was feeling a little pressure, and I wanted to make some announcement and she wouldn't let me. And somebody said something to me that they were a little unhappy with her for that. Please don't be that way. Mother Prashanta works so hard, and she's a very, very special devotee. That was my fault. If you're angry, then you'd be angry with me. Thank you very much. You can hit me, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. about time. Who cares for time, you know? We are in a retreat, you know. It's a flowing thing. So my dear devotees, a second important announcement is I really request you to be on time. Paradoxes are also there in Krishna consciousness. If you're one time on time, this is the time to be on time, which I'm saying. We want to start with the Leela and we have to do it in the within the daytime. Please, your latest limit is 3:15. We might close the gate 10 minutes before 3:15. No, we won't do this, don't worry. but preferably be here 15 minutes to 3. Please now move over immediately to the prasadam. I know some of us like to stay here in the good atmosphere. It won't be possible, unfortunately, this time. The prasadam, we have made a special effort to have prasadam ready for all of you at 2 o'clock. Good prasadam, please take. And then please come in your best mood, because Radha and Krishna will give us the darshan at this time. Yes. De De Sirade De De Sirade De Shyam Haribo.